This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Favorite guest I've had on over the years on my own radio show is a guy named Jonathan Honig. You know him from Fox News. He runs CapitalistPig.com. I love that website. I just love the idea of it. I love the name. Great guy. Very great. Just fantastic guest. He's going to be joining us coming up after the break to talk about the economy. Because, you know, Biden has said, you know, it's good. The inflation's, no, it's not a problem. Really. Well, I'm going to be fair to President Biden. I'm going to ask how much of the economy is actually his fault. What's happening with inflation? Is it really Biden's fault? How much of it's his fault? What's happening with the people who are panicking on Wall Street because of the Delta variant? We'll get to all that with Jonathan Honig coming up right after the break. The QAnon guy, that guy, you know, the guy nobody wants to see with his shirt
off. Wait, you know who the QAnon guy is? You know who is?
Well, they good point, Ryan. Well, they call him the Q guy, Jacob Chansley. You know this guy, isn't he your buddy?
No, I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, unless... yes, you do. He's the shaman. He's the
January 6th shaman, the horns guy.
Correct. The guy nobody wants to see with a shirt off. That guy. That's the guy. Well, now we've got an update on him. We'll talk Kim Gardner a little bit later in the show. And I saw a great story coming up next hour. We'll talk about this. Charles Fain Lehman had a great column about why police are leaving and what he's heard from police officers he's talked to. So those are just some of the things we'll get to over the course of the show today in the Annie Fry Show. I want to mention, Ryan, I've been called a lot of things in my 23 years of doing radio. By the way, happy day, Lori. Good to see you. Lori's filling in for Jake.
Thank you.
She said thank you.
Good. That's
she
great.
Was just she just missed her microphone.
Hey, listen,
that's why she's.
I've had days like that.
That's okay.
Lori's going, I just got here and I already can't find the button.
Yeah, don't talk to me, Heidi. Don't do it.
Don't talk to me. All right, sorry, Lori. Anyway, glad to have Lori here running the board today. You know, I've been called a lot of things, Ryan, in my 23 years of radio, but listen to what we've been called now on Twitter. By the way, I have a backup Twitter account because they blocked me out of my other one. You know that, right?
Oh yeah, I want to look it up. Are you still blocked?
I think so.
Okay.
They've got it restricted unless I give them my phone number, which I will not do.
That's right. That's not gonna happen. Give them a fake number. Get a burner phone.
You know what? I thought of that. I thought I should go down to Walmart and buy a burner phone. How much can they cost?
I don't know. $30 maybe?
You think so?
I have no idea. I really don't.
Okay. I might go look into it only because I like doing Twitter for news and things like that. But anyway, so they blocked me from that for now. They want my phone number. I'm not going to give it to them. They probably have some way to know it's a burner phone. Who knows?
Go down to a
payphone.
So
I have a backup one, Heidiology at Twitter. Heidiology, just like it sounds. Anyway, so I was using that this morning, doing some new some things on, you know, posting stories and whatnot. There's a story in Las Vegas that I was posting on about how the casinos are making you wear, like the Venetian is making you wear a V on your badge to indicate that you've been vaccinated.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Oh yeah. And there are people, and I'm sure this isn't just a Vegas thing. This happens all over the country. But somebody had let me know about that. I went, what the heck? And apparently a lot of casinos are having you wear some kind of indicator on your badge that you've been vaccinated.
Wow, a scarlet V.
Like
thank
v
you.
Venetian.
That's a little...
Wow, and there's Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Yeah, hi, Lori.
Hi.
Have you been to the Venetian?
No, I don't go anywhere. I've been to Chicago. That's the only place I've ever been, and that was like 15
years ago.
Well,
there you go. A lot of people are boycotting. You know, Vegas is an issue for a lot of folks, and unfortunately, a lot of people look at Vegas like they look at, you know, Orlando, and they go, okay, what are they doing? Because they have all these people coming in, you know, 40 million people. I don't know what the number is in Orlando. Huge numbers of people, hotspot, super spreader, all these things, right? They're looking at all this stuff. So a lot of people were freaked out about that, thought that was terrible. Other people went, oh, that's great. And then somebody called me a silent killer. You know, if you're not vaccinated, you should be loud and proud instead of being a silent killer. So that's what those of us who are not vaccinated are now. Even if we've already had it, even if we've got the immunity and all that, we are now silent killers. And I'm including you in that category, Ryan.
It's very easy to have this conversation with somebody who says things like that. Because you say, well, why do you get the vaccine? And the answer is to get the antibodies.
Right.
And then you say, I have the antibodies. So what more do you want? You want me to just do it to make you happy?
Right.
Apparently, right. That's the answer is yes.
Because they're scared. That's what it comes down to. They're scaredy cats, and they're freaking out about the prospect of somebody potentially making them sick, but they don't understand. I have several friends who emailed me who said the only people they worked with who've gotten COVID have had the vaccine.
I was actually talking to one of our producers here before we went live. I think every single person I know who has Delta has had the vaccine. I think it might be, at least in my circle, 100%. Yes.
Well, listen, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be, and I'm not giving anybody medical advice, but I remember talking about this with Dr. Kelly Victory, of course, who's been here on the Annie Fry Show as our guest a couple of times. We talked about that prior to the vaccine, you know, taking off as much as it has. And I've read other reports from other people who were concerned that, especially if you've already had COVID, just throwing this out there, I'm not giving medical advice. They were concerned that if you already had COVID, that potentially it could make it like what they call the cytokine storm, and it could affect your immunity in ways that it wouldn't if you hadn't had COVID. So what I'd like to know, and I've not seen a breakdown, maybe you have, Ryan, I'd like to see a breakdown of the people who've gotten the Delta, who've had the vaccine, and also had COVID previously. That's what I don't know. To me, that's the big question.
You can't find that number, Heidi.
Thank you.
That's what's ridiculous is that I've looked for a lot of statistics like that. It's really hard. I mean, I need to start using DuckDuckGo instead of Google. That's probably part of my problem, or Firefox.
Right.
Because you know they're filtering the results of these things. The top couple pages on Google, there's stuff I used to find in the past that is nowhere to be found anymore. And
right.
It was good data. And right. But it gets buried on purpose now. But no, I think that there's no way that you're going to see that number until it's no longer politically expedient.
Right, but I'd like to see that because anyone could throw numbers around. My mother always has a funny expression she uses: when all else fails, just manipulate the data. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly
and you
what
can
we
manipulate
see.
It. Yeah, you can manipulate it any way you want to, whether it's the CDC or the Children's and Pediatric Association, whatever it might be. Local municipalities are manipulating the data, and they're not giving us a spreadsheet. Here's how many people have had the vaccine. Here's how many people have had COVID already. Here's how many people have gotten sick after getting the vaccine who've had COVID. They don't want us to know that. And that's one of the reasons, once again, we've talked about this 100 times, but it's still very much in the news. It's so frustrating because you feel like you're being lied to. If it's that hard to figure out, then, you know, there's something they're hiding. That's the thing that makes you crazy. When you go on YouTube, for example, let's say you have a problem, something breaks in your house. I mean, YouTube's amazing now. All the videos that are on there, as you know, whether it's trying to fix something or some kind of life hack or working on a car or anything you can find on YouTube. Somebody's got a video about it, right? But when it's really hard to find videos that even ask some of these questions so you can educate yourself completely on the issue, you know that's a problem.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with my wife last night. She's so fed up. She's a researcher, okay? And I mean, I am too with news stuff, but she's a researcher when it comes to anything. having babies, English studies, like whatever she's doing at any given point, she's like a very high informed buyer, right? So right. If we're buying a couch, she's going to research couches for 2 months before we get one so that she knows she made the right purchase.
That's smart. If you're doing electronics or any buying a car, absolutely.
Exactly. And so this whole past year and a half, she's been highly researched on COVID. She wants to get all the info. She told me last night, she said, Ryan, I feel like I'm going crazy because I do so much research on this. And you can find anything you want to support pretty much any opinion you want. I don't know where to look. And so she was complaining just across the board. She's like, I used to look to authoritative people like CDC and the government because everybody kind of looks to them like, well, they won't be partisan. She's like, I don't know who to trust because they contradict themselves so much that I can't keep up. And she said, I'm going mad. I want to move to Singapore or Florida to just stay out of the politics of it.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to. I think people just feel as if, give me all the information and let me come to a decision. I may not make the one that you agree with, but at least I've looked at all the angles. And I think a lot of people feel as if they're not getting the right information. By the way, three states are tied to 40% of the COVID-19 cases nationwide, including Missouri. Aren't you glad you live in Illinois?
Southwest Missouri. It's not here, Heidi. Don't worry about it.
I know, but still, they throw the whole state in there. Florida.
Yeah.
Florida. Must be DeSantis. Oh, Texas. Texas. Another terrible state. And, of course, Missouri. Oh, my gosh.
I love going back and looking at the videos of people freaking out about Texas removing their mask mandate, kind of before everybody else did, you know?
Right.
About people, especially teenagers on TikTok, freaking out and saying, look, you guys just signed your own death warrants. Goodbye to your state. You're all going to die. Well, we can, in retrospect, look back and see how that turned out.
They're all going to die. That's what Nancy Pelosi was hoping. Everybody in Texas was going to die. Although I have a friend whose daughter just finished law school in Dallas, and she said Dallas is very liberal. Austin is very liberal. The entire state is not necessarily conservative, but there certainly are some conservatives left in Texas. Now, in Missouri, they've got 2.7 million people vaccinated, 3.7 million doses given out of 6.7 million people. I'm not going to rattle off a bunch of numbers. Nobody likes that. But just to give you a perspective, so about a third of the people are fully vaccinated. Shame on you.
I'm looking at our death rate, 7-day average of 12 per day.
Uh-oh.
Matches.
Shh.
About May of 2020. It's actually way lower than the peak, and barely registering on the graph that I'm looking at. So,
Don't give perspective, Ryan.
I'm sorry. Hey, let's look at cases. Okay, cases are going a tiny bit back up, but the deaths are not. So,
but see, they're downplaying these breakthrough cases on the vaccinated people.
Right.
Which is interesting because they don't want you to know that, you know, you're vaccinated, you can still get sick, but it's totally different. It's not the same.
No, it's not.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. And it's so funny because what were we told about people who could get sick? You could bring it home and kill grandma. Right.
But if you're vaccinated, you won't get sick. But wait a minute. You're vaccinated. You're getting sick. It's not the same.
Right. Or you're not getting sick, but you're having a positive test.
Right.
Which, remember, before, if somebody had a positive test, you could definitely kill grandma. We should shut the building down. Everybody should go home. Everyone should stay in their house for another 3 months because somebody tested positive. Mm-hmm. But now if you're vaccinated and you test positive, well, that's just a breakthrough. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. Keep moving.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 Now you're getting to the stuff where you're getting to the who do you trust stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because you go, well, if people are getting tested, remember we've had these conversations where people were getting tested and they were having false positives for a while. We never really heard any more about that. Was that true or was that false? No idea.
Like this poor Olympian, this girl, the alternate, I feel so bad for her. What if she has a false positive?
She feels fine.
And she's not sick at all, and she has missed her one shot that it I could know. Be a false positive.
Yeah, that's the tennis player you're referring to?
The one from Kansas City? Is she a tennis player? I don't remember what sport she is, but she's
If we're all talking about the same story, then it's the tennis.
Yeah, and I remember putting on Twitter, I said, well, is anybody double-checking these things?
Right.
Because we need to know there was no false positive. I'm not saying there is,
right.
but
Nor
we need to know. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was about six players from the Yankees who were all vaccinated who got COVID again, you know, and this stuff just gets kind of brushed under the rug because it doesn't fit the narrative of the vaccines, which, again, I don't care. Get the vaccine. But I'm just saying if the point is to get antibodies, and I've already got antibodies, then why are you yelling at me?
Yeah.
Because it's irrational.
Yes.
The whole thing is irrational. Not COVID. I just heard today about a friend of mine in talk radio in another state who is on a ventilator with COVID, not a lot older than I am. And he's a dear friend that I just heard about it. I don't know if he has underlying conditions, but he's really a great guy in radio. So listen, I know it's serious. I had it. I got my butt kicked. I understand. Nobody's downplaying it here for some people. But the reality is they're not telling us the truth. They're not giving us the numbers. Who got vaccinated? Who's getting sick? Who's dying? Well, it's 99.5% of the people dying were unvaccinated. Well, what other, you know, underlying conditions do they have? What comorbidities, as they say? We don't know. The Alabama Republican governor has called out unvaccinated folks for the rise in COVID-19 cases. So we're going to get to more of that coming up later in the show. Jonathan Honig's going to be here coming up next from CapitalistPig.com. He is a great guest. You see him on Fox every week. Always fun to talk with Jonathan. We'll talk about inflation. Should we care? That's coming up next on The Annie Fry Show.
My administration understands that if we were to ever experience unchecked inflation over the long term, that would pose a real challenge to our economy. So while we're confident that isn't what we're seeing today, we're going to remain vigilant about any response that is needed. As I made clear to Chairman Powell of the Federal Reserve when we met recently, the Fed is independent. It should take whatever steps it deems necessary to support a strong, durable economic recovery.
You know, here's Biden. He's got no clue what to do with the economy. He truly does not. You know, the problem is these folks, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the Annie Fry Show. I'm Heidi Harris, by the way, in for Annie Fry. We're going to talk a little bit later about some of these cities who spend a lot of money on personal security for their mayors when they're defunding the cops constantly. And, you know, these people like Joe Biden and these other folks, they don't live in the real world. And that's the problem always when it comes to the economy. They're not out there buying groceries like I am, like Lori is, like Ryan is. They're not functioning like we are. Everything's just handed to them, given to them. Somebody handles it. They've got assistance. They've got people. They've got something. So, of course, inflation doesn't bother them because they're not really suffering from it.
Yeah, if you're just the average socialist or communist in the United States right now, you've got to be really scratching your head about Cuba because you're looking at that country and going, well, they're having all this upheaval and the messaging is so messy from people like AOC saying, well, it's because of the United States embargoing Cuba. Okay, so communism works when a capitalist country can give them everything? If that's your messaging? Okay.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Hold on one second. I'm just sending a note. I think I had the wrong number that I gave.
Oh, by the way, while you're doing that, Heidi, a couple of tweet updates from people that when we talk about your Twitter being shut down, just some info. Now, I don't know if this is all 100% true, but one of our major contributors on Twitter, Sir Balls, was saying that unless, he says they already have your number. That's why they're asking you to confirm it, because they already have it.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I am sure they do. Lori, I just sent Tricia an updated phone number, please.
Okay.
Just my fault.
All right. Thanks.
And as a matter of fact, let's see if we can move him to like 40.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
We're doing this on the air because it's live radio, folks. Okay?
Yeah, you know it's live.
Gotta love
That's
that.
Okay. You know what? I'm good. Can I just say something about talk radio here for a second, if you don't know much about it, and I'm sure you do if you're listening to it, you like it. If you can't handle it when things change, you better get out of the business.
Exactly.
Right, guys?
Yep. Don't do it if you can't handle the changes.
Exactly. Because I think I gave them the wrong phone number because anyway, it doesn't matter. Nope. It doesn't matter.
We go so, with it.
It's always my fault. So we'll get Jonathan on in a couple of minutes, yeah. I promise. You know, that's how it is. I would blame the show, the person whose name is on the show, Annie Fry, but I hate to pick on her when she's on maternity
leave. Let's pick
leave.
On Annie. Yeah, this guest not showing up was Annie's fault,
this
apparently.
This is what happens when she's not here.
Yeah. Well, listen, your name's on the show. We're going to blame you, Annie.
That's
even
right.
If you call my maternity leave,
that's
we're going
right.
to blame you, girlfriend.
Yeah, a little behind the scenes on Heidi. When things don't go right, She's screaming expletives during the breaks.
You should hear how we get abused.
She's yelling at us, saying, you're the problem. She's pointing it through the screen. She's like, you're the problem, and you're the problem.
Hilarious. I know hosts like that. I don't try not to ever blame anybody other than, well, sometimes it is somebody else's fault, but generally it's my fault if things go wrong. Same with the computers or anything else that I might have. You know, if the computer's down, it's usually a user error on my fault, on my part, most of the time.
I just
anyway,
stuff.
We'll talk. What were you going to say, Lori?
I just kick stuff.
Can I just, I'm not a violent person, and I'm not that kind of, I can certainly yell. My father was a yeller. You know what the good thing about having a father who was a yeller? My father was a fantastic guy, but he would scream. I learned about Jesus listening to him in the garage working on tools and things like that.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Oh, JC, GD, all that stuff that I don't say. I wasn't a Christian when I was a little kid, but once I became one. Now, not that I can't cuss and I'm working on that, but I don't do the JC or the GD. That I don't do.
Draw the line.
I won't take the Lord's name in vain. And all the years I've been on the air, I've never made a mistake and cussed on the air, which is good. But...
So what was good about having a dad that yelled? You kind of
I'll tell you what it was. When you become an adult, and I'm not going to go all feminist on you at all right? But I'm sure Lori can attest to this. When you work with a bunch of type A people in radio or any occupation, it's not just been radio, but mainly radio, and some guy raises his voice, I look at him like, what else you got?
Yeah.
My grandmother had more attitude.
Yeah, because it's
right?
Like, I can bring it. Come on. Yeah.
You got it. Bring it. So it was very helpful for me to learn from somebody who yelled and just go,
is that all you got? Really?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. When you have a dad, or a father figure who's both really stern, I mean, hopefully not like just screaming at you all the time, but stern with you, but also loves you.
Yeah.
That is a great, that is why we talk about fatherhood being lacking in society so much, because you need that to get into the world, the professional world especially,
right.
Because if somebody
exactly.
comes down on you hard, you can kind of bounce back from it because you've had a loving father figure be stern with you, but know that you're okay in the end.
It's a good balance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, because you don't fall apart and think it's the end of the world. Now, I do know people who've been raised in bad homes, abusive homes, things like that, where they just shrink when somebody yells. And
exactly,
I can understand that if that's been their experience, right? When that because that was, for some reason, it didn't make me fearful because I knew that my father loved me. It was different. He would just spout, he'd, you know, get in a bad mood and spout off or fixing something. And it wasn't until, I got to tell you a funny story. So my dad was the kind of guy who would cuss no matter what project he was doing around the house. Okay. Cussing, swearing, this kind of thing. All right. So I got older. I moved into my own little place and I had a boyfriend who built a desk for me. He bought me one of those desks, you know, those ones that are made out of fiberboard.
Yeah.
With the
cheapo,
the vinyl.
Things.
Yeah. The vinyl on top. They're super heavy.
Yeah.
And they're hard to put together. I don't have the patience. Okay. So he put this thing together one night, which was nice of him to do, and I was sleeping on the couch. Now, you got to picture this. I wasn't aware that you could do something like that without cussing. I did not know it could happen.
I'd be cussing putting it together.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
I cuss with IKEA stuff. Forget about it.
Right.
You know? They have a thing in IKEA that's a big wall unit. You have to look this up, Ryan. It's called the divorce maker.
Okay.
No, look it up, Ryan. Double check me. It's a wall unit that is something in your house. It's a big wall unit that apparently has all kinds of screws, all kinds of this, all kinds of that, and it's called the divorce maker.
Oh, that's not a joke. It's real. It's
you
really
think I make stuff
that.
Up, Ryan? You think I just sit here and make things up?
No, I thought it was anecdotal. No, it's really called the IKEA divorce maker.
Wow.
Thank you. Go ahead and explain. Go ahead and describe it, please, sir.
The Liatorp system is called the divorce maker. Civic Science reports that 17% of couples reported arguing every time they assembled it.
Wow.
That's from Business Insider.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
That's the kind of thing. So, you know, you have to learn. You have to learn how to, and we all struggle with it at times. Certainly all of us in radio do because we're all type A people.
Yeah.
But I do think it was helpful that my dad was a yeller because he was absolutely rock solid, always there for me. And I never doubted his love for me. But when he would spout off, I've had a couple of people over the course of my radio career try to back me down with yelling. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, because
I just laugh.
Yeah, you probably did train you well for this kind of career because you know you're going to get hated for basically anything you say. It's been a learning curve for me, I got to say, because I'm a people pleaser by nature.
Oh, okay.
And well, I've had to just in the last, not I guess not just being here, but in even in Christian radio, you'd get some hate. It was a little bit less because you weren't talking about like the day's divisive topics. Christ himself is divisive, like for sure. But generally, you didn't get the people who were just looking for a fight, right? But you would get some hate. So I kind of had to get thicker skin doing that. But doing this, you have to be ready. I mean, I would say not just doing this career, but being a conservative and not backing down from your positions, not being obnoxious, but just not backing down and having the info and saying, look, this is what I believe and this is why I believe it. You've got to have thick skin. You have to.
You have to. And I listen, if somebody sends me nasty emails, you know, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're this or that, which I used to get, especially when I used to do cable TV all the time. I'd literally walk from the set to my car and the tweets would start. You know, you're this, you're that, whatever. I go, eh, I don't care. If the computer doesn't work, I will cry. One time I got so frustrated with the computer not working that I literally beat a computer mouse to death. And I felt good about it. I smashed it into a million pieces and I said, I don't care what I just did. It's going to cost me $25. It's cheaper than therapy. And I'm not that person. I'm not. I don't hit my dogs. I don't hit my husband. I'm not that person. For whatever it was, it had to be a computer issue. It wasn't because someone sent me hate mail. I go, eh, whatever about that. It was so funny. Anyway, coming up, Jonathan Hohner is going to be here from CapitalistPig.com. Cannot wait to hear what he's got to say about the economy. Should we be concerned about inflation? And how much of it is attributable to Biden policies? We're going to be fair. We're going to find out. That's coming up next on The Annie Fry Show. I'm Heidi Harris.
I remember the days of just keeping time, of hanging around in sleepy towns forever. Back roads empty for miles. Well, you can't have a dream and cut it to fit. But when I saw you,
I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry on the Great Annie Fry Show. Joining us live, Jonathan Hohner from CapitalistPig.com. He is fantastic. You see him on Fox every week. He's a hedge fund manager. Great guy to have on. And I wanted to talk with Jonathan about the economy, inflation, what's going on with that. Is it really Biden's fault? Jonathan, how are you?
Heidi, great to be with you. And, you know, we've talked so many, and great to be with our audience as well. We've talked so many times over the years, good times and bad times in the economy. And look, you got to kind of give it up for the American entrepreneur, the American business person. They're the ones who've made this the shortest recession on ever. You know, this recession was over in April of 2020, 2021, and economists have said it's the shortest on record. That's not because of the government. That's not because of stimulus. That's because of entrepreneurial businessmen, their workers, their employees who pulled us out and are pulling us higher this morning. You know, the stock market's not too far from all-time highs, and it's great American companies. Again, not government, not business, not stimulus that is pulling us higher.
That's really important. We speak with Jonathan Hohner from CapitalistPig.com. Now, that is true. So now Biden's saying we shouldn't worry about inflation, but I'm looking at it as a person who has to pay for gas and has to pay for groceries and all these other things that are costing more money, lumber in the construction industry, various things. People are concerned. I mean, I'm looking at inflation as a problem. How big a problem is it really, and how much of that is attributable to Biden?
I mean, it can be, Heidi, a huge problem. I'm a little disappointed and surprised, I guess. I should be too surprised that our politicians are minimizing it. They're the ones that are causing it. And just to give you a sense of how big of a problem it can become, I mean, think back to Gerald Ford. I know you weren't even born back then, Heidi.
But nice of you. Nice.
Well, President Ford called inflation public enemy number one. That was the big enemy back in the early 1970s when Gerald Ford was around. And we're talking about 7, 8, 9%. And what causes inflation, Heidi, isn't, you know, greedy businessmen or tech titans or even pandemics. It's the government artificial expansion of the money supply. And that's exactly what they've been doing. All these checks, all this stimulus is literally dollars printed on a piece of paper, borrowed from future generations. So that's what's causing the inflation. And as you said, I mean, we say, oh, it's kind of out there economic stuff. Go to the grocery store, go buy a home, go, as you said, fill up your gas tank. You're paying more for everything. That $100 ain't what it used to be.
No, it's not. It's very concerning. And of course, the reason that they're downplaying it, you know, the reason is because of 2022.
Oh, certainly, 2022. And, you know, in general, when, for example, Heidi, a politician will say, well, you know, you need to pay your employees more, like Biden said earlier in the day, yesterday, Biden talked on a CNN a town hall, and, you know, an employer
right.
was saying, look, exactly, I can't afford this $15 an hour. And Biden, who's literally been in public office for 57% of his life, Heidi, think about it, his entire life, more than half of it, he's been on the public dole. He says, oh, well, you're just going to have to pay $15 an hour. You know, we have business people, big and small, listening to this show. They know how difficult it is to create a job, to have a sustainable job for employees, one up to, you know, hundreds. So there's no empathy. There's no compassion from this government. And that's why I really am worried moving forward, Heidi. I mean, the more government spends, the more it interferes, the more it micromanages the economy, the more difficult I think it's going to be in the years ahead.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Jonathan Honig from, you see him on Fox News every week, of course, from CapitalistPig.com. We'll talk about your new book coming up. Now, you're right about that. For him to tell that restaurant owner, just pay more money. And here's the thing, and I know you know this, but maybe some people don't. When you pay somebody $15 an hour, it's not a magical number. In some states, you might be paying $7, $8 an hour or more beyond that $15 an hour to employ that person by the time you're paying for the fees and the insurance and whatever else. And that's something else that people can't just, they just can't afford.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. Central planning of the economy, Heidi, this idea that some, you know, philosopher king in D.C. knows what's right for every businessman, every businesswoman, every employee over the country is ludicrous. And in fact, the whole idea of a minimum wage, it's really discriminatory. It's discriminatory against those low-skilled employees, Heidi. And look, I was one of them at one point. I worked at Starbucks for $5 an hour. And you know what? You build your skills, you build your opportunities, and you build your way up the ladder. That's, of course, the American way. But when government comes in and says, no, 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 you have to pay $15, $18, $20 an hour, what happens, Heidi, is that job goes away, that wealth isn't created for the employer or the employee. So that's what we've got to be worried about, not about greedy tech titans. They're not the problem. They're the answer. The problem is government coming in here and getting in business's way.
Jonathan, so this is Ryan in here with Heidi. Just a quick question for you. I keep hearing the $15 like it's this magical number. You know, that gets talked about across the country, $15, $15. Well, like you said, why if it's just pay them more because we want them to be paid better, why can't we pay them $18 or $30 an hour? Why is $15 the magical number that we keep getting stuck on?
Yeah, I mean, I think because it makes politicians look good, right? I mean, they're not the ones paying it. And so it's easy for them, as you said, to pick a number out of the hat. And, of course, the perception is that employers, you know, when they think of an employer, they don't think of, you know, some of our listeners, I'm sure, might be a plumber or a small contractor with two or three employees. They think employers are like Scrooge McDuck, you know, just like sitting in a big room of gold swimming around with all their doubloons. But, you know, that extra dollars is money taken away from new investment, new creation, new wealth production. So, you know, it's that misperception of employers, this idea that, oh, they've got all the money and that wages are offered up as whim, right? Oh, I like this one. And Heidi, as you pointed out, look, if you pay someone $15 an hour who's only earning and only creating, let's say, $8 an hour worth of wealth, you're going to go out of business. And a lot of businesses will, thanks to all this micromanaging from D.C.
Yeah, that's so true. We're speaking with Jonathan Honig. Of course, you see him on Fox News every week. CapitalistPig.com is his website. He's a hedge fund manager, author, as you can tell, a great guy. You know, what else is an issue for business owners? I have a friend who's owned a business for decades in a town. And she said, I've got people who've worked for me for, you know, 10 years, and they finally gotten to the point where they're making $15 an hour because that's the value that they bring to the company with the experience, the things that they can do. She says, what do I say to them if I'm hiring somebody new at $15 an hour, right?
And that's the inflation you talked about, Heidi, and that artificial because you're right. I mean, if someone new comes in for $15 an hour and you've been working, well, now everyone's wages have to go up. In fact, that's one of the reasons oftentimes you see unions, and I know there's a lot of differing opinions about unions, but they're supporters of higher minimum wage because a lot of their employees are indexed to the minimum wage. So, you know, it's really that ultimate disruption in the economy. And, you know, Heidi, if someone wants to improve their wages, the way they've always done it in the past is improving their skills.
That's right.
That's how they earn. They become more productive. And, of course, that's the story of America. Everyone from, you know, Henry Ford to Walt Disney working their way up, creating more wealth along the way. So that's what we really have to be worried about as we move forward. I mean, the economy is humming along, but it's companies, it's Costco, it's Starbucks, it's McDonald's, it's Google, Facebook, these innovative companies that are powering us forward. And minimum wage, government regulation, mandatory regulation, et cetera, that's only going to slow us down.
No question. We're speaking with Jonathan Honig from CapitalistPig.com. You see him on Fox every week. Let's talk about the Delta variant. Now, the market's gotten a little shaky because of the Delta variant. We thought we were coming out of this, Jonathan. We saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and maybe it was a train now we're hearing because of the Delta thing. What are you hearing on Wall Street? What do you think?
Well, I mean, what really caused the collapse in the economy, Heidi, it wasn't the pandemic, as terrible as the pandemic was. It was the government's response to the pandemic.
Right.
Right. I mean, right. So when you say to companies, you're all going to have to shut down and restaurants. Oh, everyone's got to go home. Yeah. I mean, the economy collapses. And that's exactly what happened. I think what you're going to see is as more and more Americans become vaccinated, as life becomes more and more back to normal, well, we'll have these flare ups of different types of variants. It's not going to throw the economy as it once did. And once again, it's science. It's financiers. It's the geniuses at Pfizer, Moderna, that are putting us back on track. It's not the government lockdowns, which didn't do anything to solve the pandemic in the first place. It was science that did it.
So you're not that worried about it because, you know, there are a lot of various jurisdictions that are talking about shutting down again, masks again. Is it a question of the people just aren't going to have it, or you don't think they're going to be that extreme?
Well, I'm certainly worried not about necessarily the variants, Heidi. I mean, I trust in science. I trust in people at least protect themselves or get vaccinated, et cetera. I am worried about, as you said, the heavy hand of government coming in and saying no travel, no business operating, no liquor can be sold, no business can be done. That's what crashed the economy a year and a half ago. That could crash it again if we move in that direction. And when you look around the world, I mean, in Canada, for example, they're still under mandatory lockdowns in places around the country, that country. So that's a fear moving forward, not the Delta variant, not the pandemic, but government's response.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're speaking with Jonathan Honig from CapitalistPig.com. I watched the county commission meeting in Las Vegas the other day. These county commissioners, all Democrats. People got up, every single person except one was, you know, kind of handing them their butts and telling them, we don't want the mask mandate. It didn't do any good. You work for us, you know, that kind of thing. To a person, just only one guy disagreed. They don't care. They put their hands over their ears and go, la, 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 la. We don't care what our constituents think. These arrogant people, Jonathan, they make my head spin.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, we still have that ilk, Heidi, that comes from that tradition of rugged individualism. And, of course, the idea that people can take care of themselves, take the types of risks that's appropriate with their age, with their pre-existing conditions, et cetera. But when government comes in, as you said, with that heavy hand and says, nope, your freedoms mean nothing. This is how you're going to act. This is how you're going to react. Of course, the economy flails. And of course, the economy falls. So that's really what I'm fearful of moving forward. So many American companies, Heidi, I mean, you know, say what you want about Facebook, Google, Amazon. Boy, they've made our lives a hell of a lot easier, especially during the pandemic. So as long as they're left free to create, innovate, and as long as the markets are left free for us to participate and invest, I'd never sell this country short.
That's absolutely true. We're speaking with Jonathan Honig from CapitalistPig.com. Tell me about your new book. You've written many, but tell me about the new one, Price is Primary.
Yeah, thanks, Heidi. I mean, I've been, as you said, a professional investor for over 20 years, and I use a particular style, a particular investment that's been really successful for me over the years. You can learn more about it at priceisprimary.net. It's a technical way of looking at the market, controlling your risk, and ultimately being more profitable as a result. So it's priceisprimary.net. I'm going to be sending you and your team an autographed copy in the days ahead.
Oh, thanks. You're the best. Well, Jonathan Honig, it's great talking to you always. And I love the fact that you and I have talked so many times over the years when things are good, when things are bad. And you always seem, you know, you're always a cheerleader, which is good. And you're a cheerleader for America because you're right. We could not have come back from this craziness as quickly as we did. Certainly was not the politicians who did it. And that's so important.
Absolutely. We are blessed every day to be living in the most free, most individualistic, most capitalist, and most wealthy country in the history of mankind. God bless us all.
Well, let's try to keep it that way. No. All right, let's hope so, Jonathan. I got my fingers and my toes crossed. Great talking to you, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Best to you, Heidi. Be well.
Thanks. That's Jonathan Honig, CapitalistPig.com, and also check out his website, PriceIsPrimary.net. He's terrific, isn't he, guys?
He's great. If we ever get to talk to him again, I didn't want to throw a curveball at him because I didn't know him yet, but I wanted to ask him about the AMC and GameStop apes. Have you followed that story at all?
The what?
The AMC and the GameStop people, because he's an investor.
Okay.
You okay. followed this at all about the
no?
Oh man, stock. The stocks.
Yeah.
Oh man, what a story! If you're not following it,
okay. Well, you want to talk about that next hour?
Oh sure, yeah, we can talk about that. There's a lot there. There's not a lot lately, but you know, it's a big general story this year.
Okay. I'm fascinated.
Yeah, I can fill you in. I can fill you in.
All right. Fill me in next hour. We've got a lot more coming up. We'll talk a little bit about Kim Gardner, too. Oh, boy. What a joke that is. Yeah, lots to talk about there. And Charles Fain Lehman's going to join us from the Manhattan Institute. He had a great column the other day about policing and why cops are leaving, and we're going to break that down with him coming up. It's just hard to see all these police officers leaving. It's very difficult. It's just depressing because if they're not going to be there, who's going to be there for us? That's the issue, right? And we'll talk about that in the AMC situation. I did see a new movie that I do want to see, Respect. You see that with Jennifer Hudson about Aretha Franklin?
I think I know generally what you're talking about. I don't know much about it, though.
I actually saw a trailer for that, and I went, now that would maybe get me to a theater for the first time in a year and a half.
Not Black Widow?
Who?
What? Yeah, okay. I guess that answers that question.
Who was in that?
Scarlett Johansson's the new Marvel. I have really no desire to see
it. Oh, I love her, but okay. Yeah.
It's not getting great reviews.
I don't know Marvel from, what's the other one?
DC.
Thank you. I don't know the difference. I'm sorry.
With you. No, I don't either.
All right. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping me out. I appreciate
it.
All right. I'm Heidi Harris. This is the Annie Fry Show. Coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.